You have found Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and the triumphant successes of business owners across the land. Authentic Business Adventures can be found on Facebook, LinkedIn, and all kinds of social media things on that fancy internet. We are coming to you from the Sun Prairie Community Radio Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching, and author of the Bold Business Book, available on Amazon. Today, we are welcoming slash preparing to learn from Ryan Paulsrud of Alpha Graphics in Middleton. Ryan, how are you feeling today?
Good. How are you doing?
You know, I'm tip top. I got an awesome business owner in front of me, and I get to interview you for the better part of an hour. So what could be better than that? So I tell you what, Ryan, I met you, the better part of a decade ago, maybe?
Yeah. I was trying to connect the dots there, too.
Yeah.
It's been a long time.
It's been a long time. And you bought Alpha Graphics. How long ago has it been?
2.5 years.
All right. That's awesome. So tell me, let's start out with the transition of you deciding to go from employee of essentially an unrelated company to buying Alpha Graphics.
Well, so I'd worked for a company in a completely unrelated field for the better part of 18 years, 18 and a half years to be exact.
Wow.
Started looking, it's like, well, either work there forever.
Sure.
Retire from there. Really wasn't any more opportunity for growth. It was a privately held company.
Sure.
The owner had decided that it was as big as it needed to be and said, hey,
okay,
hit the brakes, just sit back and coast for a while. Which,
sure.
I had some piss and vinegar left in me. I didn't want to just sit there and coast.
No, I get that. I'm always under the impression you should either grow or die. You're just like a tree when you're a business. So
yeah. And, honestly, I'd been there 18 plus years. I need to probably get out of the way, allow younger generations upward mobility and growth. And so I started looking for a job, a career, a different position.
Sure.
And quickly realized that basically I already had about as good a job as I could have.
Okay. In regards to pay and benefits, responsibilities. Okay.
Yep. I started when the company was real young, helped build it through the years.
Yeah.
It was probably 20 times bigger.
Sure.
When I left than when I started.
That's awesome.
So, I had a lot of flexibility, a lot of mobility there, helped build a lot of the company.
Okay.
So to go and start another company, even at the level I was at.
Right.
Would mean likely a step back.
Sure. Gotcha. All right.
And, I'd always kind of wanted to own a business and run a business, and really where I'd worked, I really did run it for the most part.
Sure.
Did a lot of the hiring, did a lot of the onboarding, created the departments, documented them.
Sure.
All
right.
The processes, procedures, everything there.
Yeah.
So started going down the path looking like, talked to my wife and she said, yeah, I think you'd be a good business owner.
Sure.
So we started looking. It's like, well, do we start a business? Do we not?
Right.
We got family, a wife that worked part-time from home.
Okay.
Young kids.
Sure.
Starting a business maybe wasn't exactly in the card just because we kind of needed an income.
Mm-hmm.
Need to hit the ground running.
Right.
You got a mortgage and things.
So
started looking around and made a list of businesses. Not of businesses, but of things. I knew I wanted to employ people that actually have a career.
Okay.
I wanted to not be a real big business, but not a real small. I didn't want to run a two-man shop where you're stuck doing everything. I wanted to actually have a team environment. So I started making a list and whittling it down, and the opportunity came up with Alpha Graphics Middleton, where it came up for sale.
Sure.
Started talking to the prior owner, and it went real good. It was real smooth. He was easy to work with.
Oh, that's awesome.
It just kind of worked out real well. And actually, from start to finish, we transacted the whole deal in less than 20 days.
Oh, you're kidding? That's incredible.
So
we're buying a business.
Yeah.
So negotiating price, getting everything, all that jazz. 20 days. Wow.
Once I decided
to
buy it, of course. But
well, there's that decision process, sir. We can go down that road in a bit, but I have to congratulate you for putting together a list of what you wanted before you actually found something. That's incredible. I mean, to know what you're looking for before you actually go out and look for it.
Well, I had a very unique perspective. So in my former life, I was technically by education, electrical engineering, computer science.
Okay.
And I always say I was in engineering, but now when I look back on it, I was really operations and sales, if you will, technical sales.
Sure.
One disadvantage, too, where I used to work was I traveled a lot.
Okay.
There were months where I was gone almost always.
Oh.
So part,
well, that's no good.
Partly I was looking to get rid of that.
Sure.
You know, and I could have maybe finagled the deal.
Sure.
But so part of that experience let me see into a lot of other people's businesses.
Mm-hmm.
So that company in particular dealt with a lot of franchisees in particular.
Sure.
A lot of small business owners, a lot of different types of business from full spectrum of industry. And I dealt a lot with them and figuring out how our product fit in with them to save them money, et cetera.
Right.
So it gave me kind of a unique perspective on what I was looking for and what I wasn't.
Ah.
You know, I'd learned a lot from the other people that maybe, I don't want to say made a mistake, but things they didn't like.
Sure.
About what they were doing.
Sure.
And, you know, there were things on that list that even 5 years ago I would have never thought to put on that list.
Sure.
Until having a particular experience with a customer.
Sure.
That says, oh, wait, ding.
Just getting
I don't want to be this guy.
Sure. Just getting the education through seeing how other people's lives are with the businesses that they own.
Yeah, and the different types. And, you know, service versus food industry versus.
Right.
You know, part of that list was the industry as well.
Right.
You know, one important thing was actually make a tangible product, something somebody can hold. See, I didn't want to make vaporware. Oh. I didn't want to provide a service and a product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, really two high things on my list.
Sure.
So
that is incredible. That's super awesome that you say that. I think last week we just had someone, Chandra Miller, in here talking about Starting Block and all the software startups and stuff like that. So it's interesting to hear the essentially the polar opposite of that, that you're looking to sell something that's tangible that people can hold in their hands.
Yeah.
So that's awesome. Totally get it. That's awesome. So then you decided, so you landed on this. So was Alpha Graphics just in the newspaper and in the broker section of some internet website thing, or where did you find it?
Well, I can't give a plug, and I honestly can't remember the guy's name, but out of the blue one day, as I was going through this process, a business broker called me.
Oh, really?
And said, hey, you know, I sell businesses and blah, blah, blah. I work with different franchisees, work with franchisors. You know, we can help you start one.
Sure.
We can help you buy one. It could be privately held, this or that. I said, well, you know, your timing's actually pretty good. I'm just started down the path of that. And, you know, kind of looking for different businesses. And he's the one that actually clued me in.
Oh, really?
To this business in particular, so coming up for sale.
At this moment, when he called you, you were an employee still?
Yes.
All right. So he just cold called you out of the blue?
Well, I don't know that he exactly cold called me. I think they use a bit of technology with LinkedIn and things like that to kind of.
So they saw you digging some holes?
Probably.
Okay.
I probably tripped some algorithms, I'm guessing.
Okay, gotcha.
Based on, you know, searches I was doing and whatever else.
Gotcha. But, okay. Yeah. Okay, Big Brother's watching.
Yeah.
And sometimes it helps. Okay.
Well, that's data. I mean,
sure. Right, right.
It's a world we're in.
Right. Indeed. Totally indeed. So, okay, so he calls you up. He says, hey, this Alpha Graphics place is up for sale. So then do you make a call? Does he arrange a meeting?
So Alpha Graphics is a franchise.
Sure.
They're all independently owned franchises.
Okay.
So the first thing I did, instead of engaging with the business owner directly, is I actually engaged with the franchisee.
Ah, okay.
And went out and saw their headquarters and sat down and learned what they were all about.
Sure.
And I actually had to become certified even. So they had to...
Certified through Alpha Graphics?
Well, I had to be approved.
Okay. AGU. All right.
Yeah. Well, you know, they just want to make sure that you're capable of running the business.
Sure. That's fair.
You know, so you submit resume and you go through personality tests. And
sure.
You meet with their staff and their marketing and different
people. Oh, really?
Jump through hoops and they qualify you as,
okay,
you know, this person would be a good candidate.
Sure.
To own a business and own and operate in Alpha Graphics.
To make sure that their individual franchise, that even though you would own it, they don't want it folding because then it looks bad on them.
Right.
And so when they try to sell other franchises, they're like, hey, this guy in Middleton really dropped the ball.
Yeah, and obviously they don't want it folding. They don't want the brand misrepresented.
Yep.
They want it to.
Sure, that makes sense.
So then once I got the I guess, the approval from them. Mm-hmm. I engaged the local owner. And,
okay.
You know, went through the finances and small business loans and that.
Sure.
And made sure we had all that in order, and then went into negotiation processes.
Nice. So what was the guy's reason for getting out of it? Was just he was getting older, or he was just getting sick of it, or?
Well, yeah, I mean, he had owned another business for a lot of years.
Okay.
And this was their second business. Him and his wife ran it.
Mm-hmm.
His wife had some medical issues that was mm-hmm. preventing them from maybe spending as much time there as they wanted to.
Sure.
And yeah, I mean, he was getting older as well. Just
okay.
It's time to move on. And
sure. It's time.
Yeah.
Nothing's forever, right?
Nope.
That's awesome. That's
and he had owned it almost 15 years. I mean.
Oh, okay. So. That's a while. Anything more than 5 years in business, and I'm like, whoa, there must be something crazy good, or you just don't know how to leave. One of the two. So that's awesome. Okay. So how big is Alpha Graphics? We talking employee-wise?
There's 14 employees.
Okay. So it's a decent-sized company.
Yep.
All right. And then do you produce most of what you sell in-house?
Almost everything.
Okay.
So Alpha Graphics as a whole, as the franchisee, there's a lot of different things that can be done.
Sure.
You know, there's an Alpha Graphics downtown.
Okay.
They specialize in more legal services, things of that nature. They're more mm-hmm. specialized. Keep to what they do. We're in Middleton. We have a much larger facility. We specialize in a little bit of everything.
Okay.
We have a lot more equipment.
Okay.
Know, large format, grand format.
Sure. So
you
when
know,
you're talking
digital, anything in between.
Okay. So when you bought this business, quite a big chunk of it was asset.
Yeah, a big chunk of it was assets. We hit the ground running. We actually took on about 25% more when we bought it. The landlord that owned the building, there was another chunk available.
Mm-hmm.
So we signed on for that as well and immediately added 25% more in space. Cause
holy cow. So you bought the business and you're like, kick down this wall. We're going to make stuff happen here.
Yeah. You know, it had about maxed out and what it could do.
Sure.
From a space standpoint. And mm-hmm. It was available and it's like, well, no better time than the present.
Sure. That's awesome.
And I knew we needed to make it grow.
Okay.
So.
Very cool. You want to see your business grow, so sometimes got to expand. That's awesome. And it worked out well with the space that you're in?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Worked out real well.
Nice. So then I imagine a bigger portion of that, maybe there's assets, and then there's also the goodwill portion.
Yep.
Was there ever any challenge in trying to value that?
There was a little. Like I said, the former owner was pretty easy to deal with.
Okay.
You know, we got along real well, actually, you know, the way we view things,
mm-hmm.
the way we approach sales, running a business is very
sure.
similar,
mm-hmm.
very similar mindset. So, you know, made the negotiation quite straightforward.
Okay.
So
just to clarify, how long was this thing on the market then before you jumped on there?
I think about a year.
Oh, well, okay. So it was a little while.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting. Yeah. That's a big deal. You made it sound like it was just, hey, a few weeks, this thing's on the market and sold like houses now, right?
Well, so he had it on there, but I don't think he was real serious about it.
Gotcha. Okay. So and it was available, but...
It was available. And, you know, I had actually known about it before.
Oh,
that.
Gotcha. Okay.
Just didn't seriously look at it that much because the price was a little higher than I thought it probably should be.
Gotcha. Okay.
But he had, before me even contacting, had dropped the price to what was a good, you know, a good reasonable value
sure,
for it.
Sure.
To me, like, you know, he's getting a lot more serious
mm-hmm.
selling wise. So,
sure.
You know, timing just worked out. I mean, literally like days before.
Yeah.
I contacted him. He had done that. So.
Oh, nice. Okay.
You know, just timing wise, it worked out wonderfully.
Gotcha. Super cool. So did you have to get a loan to buy the thing?
It's actually seller financed because
awesome.
Of the whole
okay.
20-day term.
Yep. Nice.
Yeah,
banks
there's
don't
that
work
that
as well.
Fast.
No.
So.
No, I was told 6 week minimum, and that's if stars align from beginning to end, which
yeah.
probably never happens or rarely
no.
enough. Okay, so we don't have to go down the whole road of was it tough to get a loan? Seller wants to get rid of it. He trusts you, so it's all good. Was there any time that he stuck with you for a transition period or anything like that?
Yeah, we'd wrote into the contract a 1-month
okay.
transition period.
Sure.
Part of that was because honestly, the first 2 weeks I was really gone.
Oh.
So gone. AGI, Alpha Graphics Incorporated, trains all their new owners.
Uh-huh.
So I was at the headquarters learning about the industry and whatever. So
sure.
Somebody had to be there to run the business.
All right.
And actually, he still works for us. He's a great asset to the company.
Well, that's
he works
awesome.
Part-time, you know, and as he puts it, when the weather isn't good enough to golf.
That's awesome.
You know, we have plenty of work, and he obviously knows the business inside out. And,
right, right.
You know, he does a real good job. We do a lot of real specialized projects.
Okay.
And he's a real good person to stick on those.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kind of a gatekeeper, project management type
role,
sales, whatever you want to call it.
Just okay.
The more not transitional or transactional, but more in-depth projects. So
gotcha.
Works out real well.
Nice. That's very cool. So working, I guess let's go back to your wife, right? Mm-hmm. You said, hey, honey, I've been at this job for 18 years. I'm going to be leaving, thinking of just buying a business, starting a business, something like that. When you actually found this one, where it was actually starting to become real, was there ever any doubt with her, or was she like, oh, this is cool?
Yeah, not too much. She did make me attend a seminar through the University of Wisconsin I can't remember what it was called, but something through the Adult Education Life Extension.
Sure.
You know, come in for a couple of days, learn what you should do for your second career.
Okay.
Type thing. And actually going through that, the results were overwhelmingly, hey, you should be a business owner. You should be doing this. You should be doing that.
Oh, nice. So all right.
I think that put her mind at ease a bit.
Sure. That's all right. It's a security thing. My wife's got that as well. She wants that solid ground or solid foundation, at least the most that you can have being married to an entrepreneur. So you have a couple kids. They're younger, mm-hmm. younger-ish.
Younger-ish.
So them, I guess, was there ever any challenges dealing with them?
Yeah, not really.
Business? Not really?
They were excited.
Okay.
You know, being a business owner, you work a lot. I worked a lot before that. I was a workaholic.
Sure.
And as I mentioned, I traveled quite a bit, so.
So it's probably better.
It is better.
Daddy's home, so it's all good.
I probably don't put it in any fewer hours.
Sure.
But, you know, they'll be at the office and hang out, and they'll help with stuff.
Nice.
So it works out pretty well.
All right. A few years they'll be working for you, so it's all good.
Actually, my oldest just kind of sort of started working for us. Now we've been busy, and I...
Oh, that's awesome.
He likes to come to work, and I said, well, you can't just sit here and play on your phone all day.
Right.
So if you come, you actually have to do stuff, you know, sweeping the floor and whatever.
All right.
So recently I just started, I stuck him in bindery and had him doing some manual labor, basically.
Sure.
And he's been doing a real good job.
Hey, man, that's how they learn. More kids need that, so I totally get it. That's awesome. So what has been your favorite part so far about owning the business?
Well, I don't know. So everyone's like, oh, I'm sure it was a big shock, a big surprise. And, you know, to me, it really wasn't. It
was not.
You know, like I said, I had really done most of the responsibilities of being a business owner for years.
Sure.
It wasn't my money, but
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day, it still dramatically affected my paycheck.
Certainly.
My pay reflected on how the business went.
Sure, yep.
So it was kind of sort of my money.
Right.
You know, if it tanked, I wasn't personally affected. But,
right.
You know, I also went to have a job. So,
right. It goes through some filters before it gets to the employees. But in the end, the employees are the business, what it comes down to.
Yeah. So, you know, as far as what's enjoyable or not, you know, part of the process of deciding the business I wanted. So looking back, I took a step back and said, what do I really like and want to do?
Mm-hmm.
And one of my favorite jobs ever, people think I'm nuts when I tell them this, but it was being a customer service rep or technical sales, and it was all phone-based service, right?
Okay.
Like, it can be really frustrating when you do it, but it was such a rewarding job. Somebody calls with a problem, you dig in, you fix it, you know, things are going poorly, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You get the problem fixed. You hang up the phone. They're happy. Everyone's happy.
Sure.
There's no problems until the phone rings again.
All right.
Happened all the time. But
sure.
Still, you know, so customer satisfaction, customer service
mm-hmm.
is very important to me, and something I've gotten a lot of satisfaction out of.
Sure.
Is just providing good customer service. So.
Okay.
You know, this type of business in particular allows me to do that, making tangible product.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what we do tends to be much more personal
mm-hmm.
than a lot of other businesses.
Sure.
You know, we're dealing with small business owners, marketing managers, sales directors.
Mm-hmm.
We're representing their brand.
Mm-hmm.
We're the outward appearance of their business.
Yeah, whatever's visible or tangible with their logo on it that the world has seen, that's
right.
You guys creating that, essentially, right?
That's right. And to a lot of people, it's very personal.
Sure.
You know, the print and marketing and large format is a very personal decision. It isn't just a business
sure.
transaction.
No, I know what you mean. I know when we've, with either of my businesses, when we sponsored stuff, and you see that you email the logo to whatever intern or lackey that they have putting the stuff together, and you see your logo squished or stretched in one way or another, because they don't know graphic design, they got to make it fit. So they just, hey, man, we can click on this box and just make it fit.
Yeah.
Like, you know what we had to do to design that logo, how much money and time we have in that thing, and you're squishing it. We actually paid you to harm the value of the way our business looks to people, right? And most of the time, they don't get it. The people that you're talking to don't get it because they just gave that job for this to someone that doesn't know.
Yeah.
So it's interesting how protective people should be, business owners should be, of their logo and their name and stuff like that, because it's huge.
Yeah. It's their brand.
It's the representation of the entity of their business. So
that's right.
It's a huge deal. I see you got, I guess we're both tagged here, right?
Yeah. Always representing. I always have the.
Yep. I always say that my wife's still like, do you have any shirts that aren't tagged? I'm like, well, if I do, it's probably time I tag them.
Yeah. So every once in a while, like we were on vacation a couple of weeks ago, and I'm like, oh, it's kind of nice to wear a shirt that doesn't say Graphics Middleton on it.
I just feel like the handcuffs are off for a little bit.
Yeah.
A little ounce of freedom.
Yeah, maybe. You know, drive around, your vehicles are all branded and everything you do is all branded everywhere always.
Yeah, but that's the name of the game, right? Raising
it is.
Awareness, because raising awareness will or should lead to customers.
Yep, be in customer front of people.
Lead to paycheck. And paycheck, you can help pay your employees and all that jazz. So you're just growing your business by driving around. Maybe not indefinitely, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I get it. I totally understand what you mean, though, how you feel like the shackles are off when you wear just a normal shirt.
Yeah, take the wife's car and put on a t-shirt. Yeah,
sure.
Nobody knows who I am.
Freedom!
But then you go someplace and people know who you are anyway.
Sure, that's all right. That's all right. So you have 14 employees.
Yeah.
The employees stick around with you once you bought the business?
Yeah, actually all of them. Stuck around and you know, the deal I worked out with them, basically I said, well, what you had here with the former owner was a successful business, things were working, we're not going to change anything.
Sure.
I'll take, you know, we'll honor the vacation, the sick time, we'll keep the pay, everything exactly where it is.
Sure.
3 months from now we're going to take and reevaluate that.
Okay.
And we'll take a look at it
to make sure that you guys are cash flowing essentially.
Yeah, make sure it's cash flowing. And you know,
right.
And actually, there were a few employees that were really severely underpaid that we bumped up and paid them fair, you know, more fair wages to.
Nice. But they were happy about that?
Yeah, they were happy. I've always been a big believer in paying somebody a fair wage. And,
sure.
You know, that everyone has a point where they're happy
mm-hmm.
and where they can exist and,
mm-hmm.
you know, not always be struggling. And, you know, you got to. I want to employ people that are in that spot where they're happy. And
totally understand. Yeah.
You know, that they're all their basic needs are being met. And
mm-hmm. I was just talking to a student of mine earlier, I should say later last week, and she's talking about her business that she wants to make and all this jazz. We're going through the little business plan. And I started out like, you figure out what you want and then find a business that fits that. And I said, what do you want in regards to pay? And she's like, I want to make $1 million a year. And I'm like, that's cool. It's great. The business that she was thinking of starting, there's no way that she'd be making $1 million a year. Definitely not off the bat. Maybe in a decade or something like that. Just the margins were not there. So I said, realistically, I don't care how much money you're making now, but I'm guessing that you're nowhere near $1 million now. So what if you made $80,000 a year? And her eyes lit up and she's like, oh, I'd be happy with $80,000 a year. So I'm like, well, the difference between $80,000 and $1 million is a huge gap. $80,000 making that from a business is something that you can pretty reasonably do.
Yeah.
Even relatively quickly. $1 million, now you got a different story, right? Especially when she's talking less than three employees.
Yeah.
That'd be a tough nut unless you're Instagram or something like that. Right?
Yeah, I'm not sure how you could make $1 million a year with
Less than 3 employees. So we did some numbers and just rolled through that, and I'm like, okay, the numbers that you gave me in regards to the number of customers, the number of transactions, the average dollar amount per transaction, she'd be bringing in $400,000-ish per year just in revenue alone. And so we can't pull $1 million out of $400,000-ish, right? The numbers are backwards. $80,000, you can probably wrestle with the numbers a little bit to find that over the course of a year or two. I'm like, oh, okay, I'm happy with that. Great. So it's like the mindset of being rich or satisfied can often be challenged, I guess, by people just assuming, oh, $1 million, that's a big number, let's run with that. When there's nothing wrong with chasing $1 million, but do you really need it? Or even if you're making 20 now, if you're making 40 or 60 or 80, then you'd be on the verge of gleeful.
Yeah.
Right? So.
And the more you make, to some extent, the more complicated your life becomes.
Definitely. More money, more problems, right?
Yeah, the more complicated your business is.
And sure.
There's definite points and transition points in a business where it becomes substantially more difficult.
Sure.
Not difficult, just more challenging.
No, I totally understand. Yeah, there's different rules come into play and different opportunities.
Yeah.
But yeah, totally understand.
Sales taxes in different states and different levels of,
Yeah. So your relationship with the employees now, would you say it's good?
Yeah, I think it's great.
Okay.
We've added.
Added employees.
Yeah, there were 9 employees when we bought it, so we've
added. Oh, so you guys added 50%.
Yeah, just about.
All right.
We've grown quite a bit.
Okay.
Put about 25% on it the first year.
Wow, that's
about
awesome.
15% last year, and on target for hopefully another 15% this year.
Really? That's incredible.
So.
Does the old business owner, is he cool with that, or does he care? Or?
No, he's happy. Well, okay. One, it's seller finance.
Sure.
So, you know, it makes him happy to see those financial statements. But,
right.
You know, and part of that is he was a cash buyer of the business.
Yeah.
I'm a finance buyer.
Sure.
I need to make more.
Right.
You know, just how it goes.
Right.
I have a family. I have more expenses than he had.
Yep.
I need to make more money to make that a go.
Sure.
And he was the first one to say, hey, we're letting opportunity go.
Gotcha.
We don't have time to run it down. We don't have the energy to chase it down.
Right.
And he was right. I mean, they were letting people come knocking, and he just didn't answer.
Sure.
So.
Oh, not at all.
Yeah.
That's so interesting. I see that so commonly.
So, obviously, the first thing we did is just start capitalizing on that.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I always joke with people before I actually had my coaching business. Well, I guess even now that I have it. With Calls on Call, I used to joke, like, you want to grow your business, answer your phone. And if somebody calls you, even if you don't answer your phone, but you got a message, return the call.
Yeah.
Like, it's magic what that'll do for your business, right?
Follow up on everybody that comes looking to you.
Right.
Because they came to you to buy something.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing to me how many businesses just fail at that, just outright fail. And they say they're too busy or excuse. But realistically, what are you in business for if it's not to serve the customers that you're working with? Like, it's just, it blows my mind. It's crazy. So it's good to hear you say that. It's just take care of business that way.
Yep. So the business is a little unique. It was really formed by 3 other businesses that were bought.
Oh.
There was an offset commercial printer.
Okay.
More like a quick copy type place. And then a sign shop that were molded together.
Okay.
And the former owner had bought those and wrapped them together.
Sure.
And they were still kind of sort of run as... The print, not so much, but the large format and the print were kind of 2 different entities. You know,
we
had a file server with separate files. And so the first thing I did is throw them all together. I said, well, customer A is customer A. They're now the same customer.
Sure.
And it was amazing to me the number of people that bought just one thing from us. I'm like, you know, we do. We have these 15 to 20 solid services we offer.
Sure.
That in theory, every business is buying.
Right.
And we're providing 1 or 2 to all these customers.
Sure.
Well, they're buying the rest of these from somebody else.
Sure.
So in theory, we're doing a good job because they keep buying from us, right?
Right.
So why aren't we selling the rest of these
to it?
So that's one big emphasis we've made is to make our customers aware, hey, we do this, we do that.
Mm-hmm.
I see you have this big fancy sign. Mm-hmm. Are you aware that we do that?
Sure.
And most people weren't. They had no idea.
Huh.
So a lot of that we're actually doing through social media.
Okay.
And, you know, not in your face, outside salesmen knocking on doors.
Right.
Just kind of constant marketing and
sure.
You know, pictures and community involvement of different things we've done and
mm-hmm.
highlighting projects to show what we can do.
Gotcha.
And it's worked out real well.
Sure.
So
that's awesome.
Which is almost all of our growth has come exclusively from that, actually.
From clients that were existing before and just hadn't bought the whole pool kind of thing.
Right.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So speaking of marketing, what do you guys use for marketing? Or how do you typically go about advertising?
Well, so I'm not a salesperson.
Okay.
I'm a tech operations.
Sure.
That's just who I am.
Sure.
I'm a relationship seller. You know, we're involved in the community. We're involved in Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're involved with multiple charities.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I personally, like I'd mentioned before, I think the business we're in, the industry we're in is pretty personal.
Sure.
So to me, to hire a salesperson to go knock on a door and say, hey, we want your business.
Right.
I don't think that really works.
Gotcha. Okay.
Because I don't think people just jump ship because someone comes knocking.
Right.
I think there's a reason, there's causation, there's something
mm-hmm.
that pushes them.
Okay.
Whether they see something we do that their current provider doesn't do.
Sure.
You know, maybe there's an error, maybe there's a mistake, who knows.
Mm-hmm.
But just cold calling in general.
Mm-hmm.
In our industry in particular, not in all industries, but I don't think really works that well. So
sure.
We've kind of taken a different approach of just kind of always being there.
Okay.
We're there. We're on social media. We're sponsoring events.
Sure.
You know, we're at the golf outings. We're everywhere, just in front of people. Not in your face, but just a subtle, constant reminder.
Okay.
So that when the time is right,
sure.
Hopefully we're top of mind.
They take the action to contact you, essentially.
Right.
Okay, yep. So you're building awareness that, one, they're aware of you, the potential customers, and then, two, letting them know what you do, and then leaving the ball in their court to actually make the call or send the email, whatever. Yeah.
And, you know, there's a handful of what I'd call customers that I think we should be doing business with.
Sure.
That, you know, we have a quarterly marketing campaign where we'll mail them samples, you know, whatever it happens
sure.
to be, whatever we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have the same, it's actually 15 customers that okay. I put on my list that very well qualified as I see real good fits for us and
gotcha.
Them and would be very beneficial to one another.
Okay.
And, you know, we do a little bit of marketing to them.
Okay.
You know, not to the point where we're annoying and bothering
sure.
them continually, but,
right.
you know, we drop a sample, hey, did you know we can do this or drop
mm-hmm.
this there every once in a while,
mm-hmm.
add them, and that's about the extent of it.
Gotcha.
You know, a lot online, obviously, social media,
sure.
website, that kind of stuff, digital marketing, I guess.
Okay.
A little bit of print, mailings, things like that, but just really to those
sure.
15 or 20 customers.
Okay. You raised a couple good points there, and I want to go down a few rabbit holes, if you don't mind. One... Let's talk about the website, because website for a print shop, I used to work at a print shop years ago, nothing to your scale, it was tiny, I still got a buddy of mine that actually owns it, he bought a job, it's a two-person shop, and he's one of the persons, but he's been in that business forever, so it's interesting, I want to talk about that a little bit, because they had to deal with a website where when people upload files, they had to have something on their website so that people could upload these files, because sometimes those files can get pretty big.
Yep.
So you need a way for technology to take care of that. And even for a small shop, that's the thing you got to have.
Yeah, you have to be up to speed. So we're a big believer in, well, me in particular, in technology and efficiency.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we run XMPI. We have a web-to-print platform.
Okay.
XMPI is the provider of it.
Gotcha.
We also have a website where we can upload files and
okay.
Request quotes and, you know, obviously look at projects and things like that
sure.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, I'm a big proponent in technology. That's the way the business is going. It's the way
sure.
the industry is going.
Mm-hmm.
You know, variable data printing, you know, personalized marketing content.
Yeah, that stuff is cool.
Yeah, I mean that's mm-hmm. where you really got to be.
Sure.
You know, the day of just mailing 50 or 100,000 postcards to every address, that doesn't get you customers.
Sure.
You have to do your research. You have to know. Mm-hmm. You have to have a targeted audience.
Mm-hmm.
So with the use of technology and print,
mm-hmm.
you have a lot better rate.
Sure.
And at the end of the day, it costs you a lot less.
Sure. Because you're not mailing 50,000. You're mailing right, you're 50. Mailing,
yeah, or 200.
But, sure.
You know, of the 200, 50% are really happy they got it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they were wanting this. They're like, oh. Mm-hmm. It's like they read my mind. They gave me something I wanted.
Yep.
And the other 50% aren't upset about getting it. They don't view it as junk mail. It's something relevant, something they're interested in, something they want to know more
mm-hmm.
about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really the shift in the change.
Sure.
In our industry is you know, being able to tie the technology in with the print and the everything else. You know,
sure.
And print's tactile.
Definitely.
So there's something special about being able to feel it and touch it and
mm-hmm.
look at it.
Everybody likes getting a letter
yep.
until they open the envelope and see necessarily what the letter's from. But I remember even as a kid, I was excited to get mail, even if it was junk mail. Maybe I was just bored as a kid or something like that. But I remember they had this book, something about 50 free things or something like that. So you could mail into like Volkswagen to get little stickers and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And I'd get so excited, but then you end up on every mailing list in the world.
Yeah.
And you start out with a couple stickers, and then you end up with more mail than your parents of just junk.
Yeah.
Like, how much money are people spending trying to get in touch with a 12-year-old kid?
Well, see, I think that actually started out as a really good idea
mm-hmm.
because that kid is mailing in. He's getting Volkswagen stickers. He's getting this and that.
Yep.
So then the parents and the other adults see that brand, and there's recognition there.
Absolutely.
They're used to seeing it. So when it mm-hmm. comes time, they're like, hey, what's that company that gives my kid the stickers?
Sure.
We should go look at them.
Yep.
But I think most of those companies erred in the side if they start selling it.
Yep.
And then, you know, you get too much mail and too much.
Tons.
Garbage tons that tons. You don't want, right. basically.
That's interesting. So then let's continue down the website thing. Because when we talk website, you got your website, other businesses have their website. But now you get into stuff like Vistaprint and other companies that you have to deal with. So is that a challenge, or are they just another facet that you don't really compete because customer service doesn't exist with them?
Well, I mean, that's part of it. So there are two different, in my mind, buyers.
Okay.
There's the one that's concentrated and focused on price only.
Sure.
And then there's one that wants a good quality product.
Okay.
You know, honestly, if you really compare us apples to apples with the Vistaprints and this and that,
yeah,
they always have some loss leader, a $9 business card or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But if you, honest to God, put a true price comparison,
mm-hmm.
we're really not more expensive.
Sure.
You know, we're very, very competitively priced.
Mm-hmm.
And our service is much better. Something mm-hmm. goes wrong, we're there, we fix it, we're going to stand behind it.
Sure.
You know, we don't just print whatever somebody uploads. You know, you'd mentioned a logo that's squished or, you know, we're going to bring up and say, hey, you know, this doesn't look right.
Right.
It's out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
It's grainy. It's whatever the case is. They'll just print whatever
they
give them, and it's your problem.
Right.
We're sorry, but
it's uploaded.
You know, you provided us.
Sure.
You know, so, and it's awful nice to be able to have somebody to talk to when things go wrong.
Definitely. In any business,
yeah.
regardless what you're selling.
I half joke with my staff. I said, you know, some of the best customers, new customers we have
mm-hmm.
are customers where we've made a little mistake
sure.
on the first order.
Mm-hmm.
And it gave us the opportunity to show them how good we are at customer service.
Ah.
I said, I think part of me thinks we should just mess up the first order of all customers so we can show how good a job we're going to do and how we're going to take care of them.
It's the new Coke formula, right?
Yeah, let's maybe. I don't know. But
tweak it a little bit and then watch your sales boom. That's awesome. That's super cool. Let me see here. I got a couple other questions that I want to ask you. Oh, my gosh. We were going down the road, and I got sidetracked on the website thing, and I forgot. But we'll come back to that later. Speaking of customer service, do you have a favorite customer story? Either good or bad. Safe place here.
I'll have to think about it.
Okay, that's fair.
There's a number of them, actually. I just don't know which one.
Sure.
So circle back. I'll come up with a...
Fair. Can you tell me about the relationship that you have with some of your local competitors?
I think we have a good relationship. So, I mean, in all honesty, the market we're in
mm-hmm.
isn't oversaturated. There's,
sure,
you know, that I think it's very healthy. There isn't too many and there aren't
not sure.
enough.
Okay.
You know, I think there's enough business to go around where nobody sure. has to be ruthless or trying to steal customers or bad mm-hmm. mouthing or any of that.
Right.
You know, I think there's enough business to go around and everything is kind of specialized nowadays. You
sure.
know, business card is a business card, but not really. You got suede no. finishes, you've spot UV,
yep.
you've all kinds of stuff, and everyone's kind of got their niche and what they do.
Yeah.
You know, we are fortunate enough to be able to do almost all of it.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few others around the area that can do almost all of it.
Sure.
But most have their niche and they stick to it, and, you know, it is what
right.
it is. It works out well.
Mm-hmm.
And we all merge and, you know,
sure.
blend very well. You know, there's always competition out there.
Sure.
I believe we're always going to win in customer service.
Mm-hmm.
We're always going to win in quality. You
mm-hmm.
know, we produce a good quality product.
Mm-hmm.
It always will be. You know, if you're not happy, we're going to make it right.
Sure.
You know, we take care of our customers. We truly partner with our customers.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And, you know, actually find... So the other thing that we do that a lot of people don't, I think, is we take the time to really find solutions. So we solve a lot of problems for customers. People are like, oh, you just do print, you do marketing. What problems are there? Well, there's
sure.
a lot of problems. Mm-hmm. You know, one big problem is inconsistent colors.
Oh, sure.
You know, if you have a bold red or a royal blue or a
sure.
light purple, you know, every time that's printed, it's a different color.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you print a folder and a business card and, you know, five spec sheets, you go to a trade show, you stick them all together and hand
right.
them out and they're all a different color purple.
You get a small rainbow of blues there.
Yeah, I mean, mm-hmm. that's, you know, we can help people fix that. We can help get their file set up.
Sure.
So that they print the same
mm-hmm.
always,
mm-hmm.
you know, and part of that is type of paper, you
sure.
know, being knowledgeable on the paper it's being printed on, whether it's coated, uncoated, matte coated,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a plethora of options
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of equipment, you know, in the age of digital, it's all technology.
Mm-hmm.
Every digital press is going to print that blue different.
Mm-hmm.
So we take and put a lot of pride in quality. You know, so we calibrate, we go back to a base level between every job,
mm-hmm.
so we know where we're at color-wise, and that if we're trying to match a PMS color like you would in the offset
right.
press days,
yep.
and we're printing it on digital, we know where that color is at and how to get to it.
Sure.
Where a lot of people just say, it is what it is, we run it, it's
right.
bluish, it's good.
Oh.
You know, and I shouldn't say a lot of people, but we get a number of customers that come, and
sure.
their biggest complaint is, hey, every time it was printed,
mm-hmm.
it's a different color.
I used to work, I think we met when I was fixing printers.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, back in the day, and I can remember I would have clients that were graphic designers, that I would get those clients because the other companies that were fixing printers would not want to deal with those graphic designers. Because those graphic designers would get out the little eyepiece, what do they call it, the loop,
loop,
looking down there. And this technician calls me up and he's like, dude, this lady is psycho. She's got her light table. She's got five prints there and she's looking just eagle eyes. And he's like, I can't tell the difference. So I would get in there, and because I had a graphic design background, I'm like, oh yeah, I see what you're doing. No problem. We'll figure this out. But it's interesting how from certain technicians' point of view, they're just like, look, man, it's blue. Just vaguely blue.
Yeah.
And when you're talking like, you know, that's supposed to be Pantone 524 or something like that. Pantone 524 or whatever it is. It's
yeah.
not vague. It's really specific. People
yeah.
pay hundreds of dollars for the little
nuances,
color wheel and all that kind of stuff. So I think you got to understand that.
And it's a brand. I mean, Coke.
Mm-hmm.
Think if people started printing Coke red
yep.
wrong.
Right.
And it was maroon or
pink.
I
lawsuits mean, galore.
Yeah. I mean, it's important.
Yeah.
So
it got a little shaky when people started using aftermarket ink, because then you got way too many variables.
Yeah.
So you're like, we can only do so much. But yeah, it was interesting how to some people it just was not an issue. But to others, what really mattered, you got to understand that's a problem. Super big deal. Let's go down the road with employees, because that's always a fun one.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever had any challenges with the employees or with any employees in the past couple of years?
Sure.
Maybe the better question would be, what kind of challenges have you had to deal with?
So, I mean, in a former life, my former life, that's what I call it, my
sure.
previous place, I dealt with employees all the time.
Okay.
You know, probably over the course of 18 years, hired hundreds and hundreds of employees.
Oh, sure.
You know, was the main point of contact for most of them. Mm-hmm. There was no official HR department. It was basically me.
Oh, really?
That dealt with them and all the problems that come up. And all the good things that come
up. So the hiring, the firing, stuff in between.
You know, yeah, you didn't show up for work for 3 days.
Sure.
You know, we have to show up every day. You know, that kind of stuff.
We're so picky.
Yeah. Yeah, the schedule is every day, not when you feel like it.
Right.
You know, and now, obviously, I've same challenges with employees, you know. I shouldn't say the same challenges. Our employees are great. That's really what makes our product great.
Sure.
They all do a really good job. You know, the employees are the most valuable part of the business, in my opinion.
Hugely.
You know, we have equipment. We have a lot of money in equipment and whatever else. But without somebody that knows what they're doing and somebody that cares to run it, you aren't going to get a quality product.
Right. So, definitely.
You know, employees are always challenging in both a good and a bad way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's always people out there looking to, when they see a good employee, you know, the biggest challenge I have is honestly, we have good employees and there's always people out there looking to take them from you.
Yeah. The snipers. Yep. Yep.
You know, and it is what it is. It's a part of being a business owner or manager for that part. Anybody's life. You have good people. Other people are going to want them, you know, and you don't really want to employ people that other people don't want. So
No, not at all. Yeah. You do not want people that other people don't want.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just something you got to deal with.
Right.
So, you know, that's probably the biggest challenge.
Sure.
And we offer a lot of unique benefits.
Okay.
To try and offset that. You know, obviously you have to have the basics, health insurance, dental, whatever.
Sure.
You know, we have bonus plans and referral plans and, you know, just overall personal time, you know, whether your kid's sick or you want to go to their, you know, your son's choir concert in the middle. I mean, things like that, in my opinion, are what makes a good employee stay or helps a good employee stay is being flexible and, you know, making sure that, I mean, they have a job, but more so now than ever in today's world, personal life interferes with jobs.
Sure.
And being sincere and understanding and, you know, you have to work together. They have to get their job done.
Right.
But you also have to allow them to spend time with their family and be happy at a personal level, too.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's probably the biggest challenge is striking that or helping. And a lot of times it's just helping your employees understand how to strike that balance.
Happy,
you know, some people aren't comfortable. Well, you know, I took an hour off yesterday and I came in a half hour late because I had dropped my kid off at karate or whatever. It's like, you know, that's okay.
Right.
If you're getting your work done, you know, it's fine. If there's a problem, I'm going to let you know there's a problem.
Right.
You know, I'm not going to just let it fester.
Right.
We're very open. We're very upfront. We're very honest.
Nice.
You know, if there's something you want to do, let me know. We'll figure it out.
Sure.
For the most part.
So if you were to describe the culture of your business in a few words, what would you say? Would it be open, or would it be happy, or would it be professional, or I guess what comes to mind?
It would be casual chaos.
Okay. Casual chaos.
So we're quite laid back.
Okay.
You know, in the dress, blue jeans, you know.
Sure.
Quite laid back and, you know, I got to come in a half hour late, whatever, take an extra hour lunch. But chaotic in the standpoint of just the industry we're in, where it's very busy, it's very quick turn, it's very short, very demanding.
Yeah.
You know, which is good and it's bad.
It's
really good because you're never doing the same thing.
Right.
Twice, never. I mean, it's always different. It's always fun.
Yep.
You aren't going to get bored.
No.
So, I mean, casual chaos is...
Sure.
That's what
fair.
I'm going with.
That's fair. You remind me of that the scene in American Psycho where the guy's looking at the business cards in the meeting. I don't know if you ever saw the movie.
It was a long time ago when I saw it.
So it's interesting. I just saw that scene not that long ago. And the guy's looking at the business card and he's talking about the font and the type of paper. And I think this was mid-90s, something like that, when the movie came out. And I was thinking the different business cards that he was looking at of all the people at this table. none of them had die cuts or like the metal business cards or the plastic business cards or the plethora of different options that they have now. It's kind of interesting because this guy's looking at all the business cards saying, oh, these are fancy business cards. And I'm like, if you looked at business cards now, those are the most boring business cards in the world you could possibly have.
Yeah, that's right. Business cards have come a long way.
No, my gosh, you can do so much stuff with them.
Yep.
So I imagine half the fun of your job, or maybe not half the fun, but I imagine a lot of the fun is just introducing what you can do to some of the people that come to you for what they don't know, right? They're coming to you for a business card, and you're like, well, we got the whole catalog here. What kind of impression are you trying to make with people?
Yeah, so, I mean, that is actually quite enjoyable. You know, sure. A lot of people come to us because they're like, well, we have a business card. You know,
sure.
It's white. It's got some color on it. It's got our logo.
Mm-hmm.
It's got my name.
Mm-hmm.
But they're, like you said, there's so many things you could do.
Yeah.
You know, die cut.
Right.
Wood, plastic, metal, mm-hmm. I mean, you name it.
Fun. And, fun stuff.
You know, a lot of that, people get really excited about it, and it can really help your business stand apart.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and a lot of that stuff with the modern world and the digital equipment that's out nowadays, a lot of that's reasonably priced, too.
Yeah, yep.
You know, and even as soon as 10 years ago, some of the stuff would, unless you're running 100,000 plus warranties,
right. Yeah.
The price was so astronomical. But now, you know, our standard digital color press has fifth color. It's got clear. It's got white. You know, it's got
nice.
There's a lot of stuff that you can do.
Sure.
And, you know, you can run 500 business cards and have them be spectacular.
Sure.
And not cost a ridiculous amount of money.
Just printing white alone has got to be a huge deal.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. You know, people are like, oh, white's easy. Well, white actually isn't easy.
No.
White's real hard to print, actually.
Right. So, yeah. That's incredible.
And to actually have white come out as white.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not off gray or cream or something like that.
Yeah.
Sure. So tell me a little story in regards to the equipment, because I know you run it's got to be just capital intensive as far as new machines go.
Yeah. So one of the first things we did is we replaced, well, even before that, we added our large format just because there was a lot of opportunity there.
Sure.
So we put two new people in there. We added some equipment. We gave them some more capacity.
You're talking about doing poster size or how big?
No, like billboard size.
Okay.
Vehicle wraps.
Gotcha. Okay.
You know, semi wraps, truck wraps.
Okay.
Large format.
Huge large format.
Yeah, okay. Wall wraps, things like that.
All right.
So one of the very first things we did is add to that department to give them more equipment, better equipment, more efficient. There's a lot of inefficiencies with doing stuff by hand and things that just, you know, it was getting done, but it wasn't getting done as efficiently as it could. And it sure wasn't at a point where we could add 30% onto it and sustain.
Sure. Okay. So you couldn't scale it the way you wanted to?
Right.
Sure.
And then shortly thereafter, we actually replaced both our black and white digital press and our color digital press. The black and white, just frankly, because it was old.
So
there was nothing really wrong with it per se.
Sure.
Just couldn't get parts. It was breaking down. It was just becoming to the point where it needed to be replaced.
More headache than it was worth.
It was, I mean, it had lived its life. It had like 10.5 million clicks. It was it was time to go.
Sure.
And the color we had was actually fairly new, but it just wasn't producing the quality that needed to be produced.
Mm-hmm.
The color wasn't there. We couldn't replicate colors. We couldn't match colors.
Ah.
The alignments weren't there. Things are coming, you know, and we could get it there, but we'd have to spend a lot of time.
Gotcha.
You know, when I have a guy spending 20 minutes lining up business cards to print straight and then another 10 trying to get the color right, you can't do that. We had to. So we replaced that equipment.
Gotcha.
We recently added a couple other digital presses as well.
Okay.
Just for capacity.
Sure.
So.
That's awesome. So you've been adding equipment and maintaining and growing the business as you go.
Yep. And we, you know, added a little of the offset, added some efficiencies in there as well.
Okay.
Different plate maker that produces a better plate.
Nice.
Things of that nature.
All right. So you just jumped in
and
running with, that's awesome to hear. So last question I got for you is, if you had a piece of advice for someone that was considering buying a business, what would you tell them?
make sure you get along with the former owner.
Ah, huge. Huge. That's awesome advice. I like that.
Because that'll make or break the deal, number one. If you don't, the negotiating and
sure
is going to be tough, and you likely aren't going to get the kind of deal you need
right
to be able to. And if it's a small business, really, the former owner was a big part of that business.
Huge.
So if you and he see things entirely differently,
mm-hmm.
that means that likely that customer base that comes from him isn't going to
yep.
be your customer base.
Yep, yep.
They're going to enjoy your relationship with a different type of personality.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that. I was just talking with a client of mine that was in the process of buying a business, and I'm like, you got to make sure you get along with this guy, because there's going to come a time when you're like, hey, what's that password for X, Y, and Z that you didn't realize at the time of closing that you needed? That guy's going to have that, or hopefully has that.
Mm-hmm.
That you have to have that good relationship, otherwise.
And customers are used to dealing with that type of personality too.
Mm-hmm.
And if
mm-hmm.
you come in and you're 180 degree personality,
sure.
you know that retention likely huge. Isn't going to be there.
Huge. That's awesome. Smart information. I love it, Ryan. Well, I appreciate you coming in.
Appreciate you having me.
This has been Authentic Business Adventures, the business program that brings you the struggle stories and triumphant successes of business owners across the land. We have come to you from the Sun Prairie Community Studios, underwritten by Bank of Sun Prairie. My name is James Kateman, business coach at Draw In Customers Business Coaching and author of the Bold Business Book that is available on Amazon. We'd like to thank you, our wonderful listeners, and our guest, Ryan Paulsrud of Alpha Graphics Middleton. Ryan, quick, we didn't say, what's the website?
AlphaGraphicsMiddleton.com.
That couldn't be any easier. Okay, AlphaGraphicsMiddleton.com. Find us airing on 103.5 Wednesdays at 6 p.m. and Sundays at 2 p.m., as well as at SunPrairieMediaCenter.com. We can also be found morning, noon, and night at the podcast link on DrawInCustomers.com. Thank you for listening. We will see you next week. I want you to stay awesome, and by all means, enjoy your business.